Morning, it's Jeff Wine, host of the Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. A lot of motorsports to talk about. We've got NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One. We'll also talk about what's going on right now with the car tariffs. There's a good article regarding that. A very interesting article about our former champion and our current reigning Formula One champion, Max Verstappen, and how he is at 10 years into the sport, and he just had his first child. We've got some weird and unusual automotive news talking about some money that has gotten away from a couple different trucks over a couple different states. Of course, we'll talk gas prices, then it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, our first article today, the title says, Going Rogue. Nissan slashes production of top-selling model in cost-cutting move, and it could be good news for drivers. Well, Nissan is expected to slash the production of America's most beloved model at one of its plants after the industry shakeup that has left the international automakers reeling. However, the business could move forward, and it could be good news for drivers as the brand works overtime to keep their prices low. Now, Nissan Rogue is applauded as the manufacturer's top-selling car for good fuel economy, modern design, and advanced safety features. The car sold nearly 250,000 cars in America alone last year, making it one of the country's most beloved vehicles. However, when President Trump announced the 25% tariffs on foreign-made cars, even the most robust brands had to take a pause. In light of this, insiders claim that Nissan is set to slash production of this popular model by 13,000 units at a plant in Japan, according to Car Scoops. Now, the reduction will take place from May until July of this year, and employees are expected to work fewer hours, with production being halted entirely on some days, according to the source. Now, Nissan, which is a Japanese company, has manufactured some of its models in a plant in Smyrna, Tennessee since 2023 and continues to build some cars there. However, many of these cars are at least partially built in Japan or in Mexico. This move could actually be good news for drivers, though the companies have to shift expenses around to keep those prices lower for consumers. Now, building cars inside the United States helps these auto giants avoid extra fees, which might have to be passed along to the buyers. Drivers love the Rogue, which has been celebrated for its reliability and its convenient size. In 2021, the car was awarded the Best Midsize Utility Vehicle by Automotive Journalists of Association of Canada. Auto123 named it the Compact SUV of the Year in both 21 and 22. Drivers appreciate the vehicle's advanced safety technology, which also includes driver assist, additional entertainment items, and navigation. The model is also known for having ample cargo space with a rear row of seats that folds downward. The car starts at about $28,500 but goes all the way up to $38,500 depending on the specifications and the trim packages. Currently in the U.S., Nissan sells five models of the Rogue: the S, the SV, the Rock Creek, the SL, and the Platinum. Now, the decision comes as Trump has announced he will personally attend some meetings in Japan with U.S. trade officials. Trump also sparked a trade war with the world after unveiling his plan to charge reciprocal fees to every country that taxes the United States. However, he paused the plan for 90 days in an effort to negotiate and strike deals that benefit the U.S. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said Japan is coming in today to negotiate tariffs and the cost of military support and trade fairness. I will attend these meetings along with the Treasury and Commerce Secretaries. Hopefully something can be worked out, which is great for Japan and the United States. Now, following the 90-day pause, Japan will be hit with a 24% tariff on its exports to the United States. This does not affect the 10% universal rate or the 25% tariffs for cars. Car companies are scrambling to shift their production of their vehicles to the United States-based facilities. Now, for instance, Honda has plans to move its production of its next-generation Civic Hybrid from Ontario, Canada, where it's currently manufactured, into the United States. Now, according to Honda executives, vehicle production will move to a facility in Indiana beginning in May of 2028. Meanwhile, consumers are worried that they'll have to pay more for vehicles because of the tariffs. Car news from last weekend, and the headline reads, Austin Cindric's last lap pass, and that's a wild Talladega win over Priest. Austin Cindric's dramatic last lap pass provided exactly the sort of Talladega Super Speedway thrill that NASCAR fans have come to expect at the sport's biggest track, earning the 2022 Daytona 500 winner Austin Cindric and Team Penske their first trophy of the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series for this season. Cindric's number two, Team Penske Ford, pulled ahead of the Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing drivers Ryan Priest, number 60, at the end, which by about the length of the front hood, to claim victory at 2/100ths of a second. In last Sunday's running of the Jack's Lynx 500, the two Mustangs exchanged the lead five times over the final six laps. So pretty impressive win for young Austin Cindric. Now, there were two disqualifications in this race. Actually, Joey Logano and Ryan Preece, both Fords, were penalized and ended up finishing 38th and 39th for disqualification of rules violations that had to do, I believe, with spoilers. So Austin Cindric wins the race, Kyle Larson second, William Byron third, Noah Gregson finishes fourth, which I believe is his highest finish for this season so far, Chase Elliott finishes in fifth, Carson Hocevar in sixth, Alex Bowman in seventh, Bubba Wallace in eighth, Daniel Suarez in ninth, and rounding out the top ten is Austin Dillon. With NASCAR news, NASCAR is in Texas this weekend, just outside of Dallas, and the headline reads, Hocevar keeps the speed and grabs his first career cup pole at Texas. Well, Carson Hocevar, who backed up his practice speed by claiming his first career pole win at Texas Motor Speedway with a lap of 191.659 miles per hour. It's his first pole after 56 career starts. Hocevar also ran the second fastest qualifying speed in the next gen era, fastest being Christopher Bell in Michigan in 2023 at 193 miles per hour. Quote, this is really big, Hocevar said of winning the pole. This is really big for these guys and super impressive for what we've been able to do with this group. This is the same group on pit road, off pit road at the shop. We've been working on this number 77 Spire Motorsports car since last year. A lot of the same guys were in the thick of it, so it's huge that we've been able to bring this team forward. Chili's coming on board and being a sponsor and having a cowboy fire suit outfit. What a better place to be on the pole than in Texas. I'm normally hard on myself, but I think I nailed this lap. I'm super proud of the team and proud of everyone and getting the number one pit stall. I am pumped. Hocevar is now the youngest driver to ever win a pole at Texas Motor Speedway. So as I mentioned, Carson Hocevar starting on the pole for the running of the NASCAR race down in Texas. William Byron will start second. Austin Cindric, who won the race last weekend, will start in third. Kyle Larson in fourth. From Glendale, Arizona, Michael McDowell in the third row and starting in the fifth position. Ty Gibbs will start in sixth. Josh Berry seventh. Denny Hamlin in eighth. Bo Wallace in ninth. And A.J. Allmendinger rounding out the top ten. And that race will be starting at about 12:30, and that will be on Fox Sports 1. Formula 1 is Formula 1 heads down and is actually in Miami, Florida. And the headline reads, Verstappen vaults to Miami Grand Prix pole ahead of McLaren's favorites. Well, Max Verstappen scored his third pole in four Grand Prix by catching and beating Lando Norris to the top spot in qualifying for the Miami Grand Prix. McLaren started the session as the favorites to lock out the front row after scoring a comfortable 1-2 finish in the sprint race, but Verstappen executed a flawless qualifying session to capitalize on a couple scrappy performances by Norris and Oscar Piastri. Verstappen maximized his Red Bull Racing advantage to overcome the McLarens. It's been great qualifying, he said. I think we've improved the car a tiny bit, which helped me rotate it a little bit more. Q1, 2Q, and Q3, we just kept improving, trying to find the limit. Around here, it's just very complicated with the tire overlap, but in the end, it worked out, and I'm extremely happy to be on the pole. So with all the talk about McLaren being fast, Verstappen on the pole outside of the front row is Norris, starting in the third position, Antonelli for Mercedes-Benz, Oscar Piastri in fourth, George Russell in fifth, and Carlos Sainz starting in sixth. And interesting enough, Alex Albon in seventh. And the two William drivers are sixth and seventh. Yuki Tsunoda, who is the new driver on the Red Bull team and teammates with Max Verstappen, will start all the way back in 10th position. Also, if you'd like to catch the race, that will be on ABC 15, and that'll be starting at about 1 o'clock today. Well, the headline reads, Fatherhood and a Decade in Formula One Give Verstappen a Perspective on Life. This is from Miami Gardens, Florida. If you're waiting on Max Verstappen to be stressed or freak out or act like any other race car driver in the history of automobiles, becoming excessively concerned about the next generation filling up the mirrors in his car, well, you can keep on waiting because he's not going to do that. On Friday morning, the 27-year-old four-time defending Formula One world champion strolled onto the Miami Grand Prix paddock, not looking like a two-time winner of this race or a victor of 64 Formula One races. He politely navigated the photographers and fans. You would have no idea that he had just welcomed a newborn daughter. As he glided to an infield cabana to sit down for an interview, one would have no clue what was going on and swirling around the rumors of unhappiness at Red Bull Racing. Because he's only won one of the five races this season, and he's ranked only in third in the championship standings behind the two McLarens of Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris, touted as the youth movement of the sport, but only 3 and 2 years younger than Verstappen, respectively. No, he just looks like a guy in the garage, exactly where he's supposed to be, where he's been for his entire life, but now with the perspective of more that he really understands. Well, you can just do the best you can. We're not the fastest team at the moment. We're trying to be as competitive as we can, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change my life in any way, Verstappen said, not dismissing the matter-of-fact directness when he chatted all the chatter about Red Bull's perceived struggles only the day before, the team boss Christian Horner frustratedly declaring, "Where's the headlines coming from is something difficult to understand." Now, the heat-glowed titanium intensity of the Formula One grid is understated tone that Horner's number one driver is equally difficult for a lot of those people around him to understand, especially when he's lapping them again. Likewise, for the billions who consume the sport on television, to be at its live events or streaming its reality shows, I believe they know who the real Max is. Spoiler alert, he says they don't, and he frankly doesn't care. But even now, he's not running away with checkered flags the way he used to do, but somehow his demeanor, no matter how misunderstood, becomes he's actually more easygoing. I come here, I do the best I can, I go home, I do other stuff, then I go to the next race. I try to do the best I can, then I go home, with a little bit of a shrug. So for me, there's not a lot of extra pressure or whatever. When I'm at home, I'm not actively thinking, oh, I'm P3 in the championship, I need to do something, or what can I do? Like a true experience over the years, you know what to do and when not to do it. You also divide your energy into other things, which you know is a part of your life, because at the end of the day, Formula One is not your whole life. It's just a part. Now, easy on the hot take with such a statement that comes from the voice of a new father whose neurochemistry is instantly altered by the arrival of his first child with his longtime girlfriend, Kelly Piquet, their daughter Lily, born in Monaco this week. Note his rivals, well, they know better. Verstappen's chilliness is nothing new. It's always run counter to his hammer-down temperament on the track. Even those who know him well have noticed an uptick in his downplayed tone, a trend that he seems to be shifting into high gear with barely 24 hours before Lily was born. See, a question leaned in a little bit and had a talk that irritated Horner so much on Thursday. How much longer is Verstappen going to do this? There's no way he's going to be like his friend Fernando Alonso and still be racing at the age of 43 as the 20th anniversary of his first Formula One title approaches, right? Well, Verstappen chucklingly said no. I have a contract until 2028, and so I'm doing this for sure till then. After that, we'll see what kind of projects are around and what I'm interested in or what I'm not interested in, says the man who owns race teams in GT3, rally, and virtual racing. After winning my first championship in 2021, everything else that comes next is a bonus. And that's really how I see it. So I'll do it as long as I enjoy it, as long as I can relate to the sport, as long as I can do it and enjoy it. Then, if not, well, it's okay to leave and head back to the family. His willingness to praise the championship leader, Oscar Piastra, who has also just turned 24 last month and has won three of this year's five races and earned all five of his career victories in Formula One in just the past 9 months. After finishing second to the Australian in Saudi Arabia, Verstappen praised Oscar. He said, he's in his third year. He's very solid. He's very calm in his approach, and I like that. It shows on the track. He delivers when he has to. He barely makes any mistakes. And that's what you need when you're going to fight for a championship. Now, in case you aren't familiar with how race drivers work, heaping praise onto one who you are fighting for a championship fight with, well, that's not super typical. It's also a sign of a racer who was not that long ago the youngster party crashing the veteran title bout. Now he's the wise old veteran himself. When people ask me the question, and I answer it the way I want to answer it, I'm going to answer it my way. It's going to be honest, and it's going to be open, and it's going to be quite direct, I guess. That's just who I am, you know. Verstappen, in attempting to dodge, do you enjoy your graduation to the wise old paddock sage part of the question? Well, I have a lot of respect for the younger guys who also have come into the sport. Oscar is doing great. I don't want him to feel that I need to try and hide that. It's not a weakness. For me, it doesn't matter if you talk positive or negative about a guy. It's like, I'm not going to change my approach on how I come into the race weekend. You know, you need to hand out credit when it's due. Now, as a young driver becomes a legend, you also remember those who were good to you back in the day, and you remember those who weren't. You know, there's a lot of drivers who are still in the paddock and around the paddock that I think aren't nice, you know. You build up a good relationship between drivers. Now, if this reads like a group hug and a sudden lack of killer instinct, then you have read it or heard it wrong. Hearing it aloud from Max Verstappen, the third winningest driver in the 75-year history of Formula One, the man who trails only the holy triad of Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher, and Juan Manuel Fangio when it comes to championships. Only now he sounds like a man who has figured out what so many other in his chosen profession never have, a work-life balance. A man who we have watched grown up in front of our very eyes, determined to dial in that perfect personal setup just as he's done so many times with racing machines over the years. Yeah, it's a great look in at Max Verstappen, which now it's hard to believe he's been in Formula One 10 years. That's crazy. So I'm glad that he is now a dad, and I'm glad that he's on the pole. Well, IndyCars are down in Barber Motorsports Park, which is just outside of Birmingham, Alabama, and your former champion, Alex Palou, is on the pole. Two-time winner of this race, Scott McLaughlin, will start second. Colton Herta will start in third. Will Power in fourth. Rinus VK, right, great run for Rinus, will start in the fifth position. Nolan Siegel in sixth. Christian Lundgaard in seventh, driving for McLaren. Pato O'Ward, who's also from McLaren, will eighth. Joseph Newgarden in ninth, and Kiffin Simpson will round out the top 10. That race is actually on right now on that is on Fox 10, and that'll get over probably around 12:30. So if you want to tune that in, I'll have those results for you next weekend. Well, a new movie trailer has been released for the new NASCAR to Le Mans documentary. Well, NASCAR and Amazon Prime Video teamed up to release the upcoming documentary American Thunder NASCAR to Le Mans, which will be released on Prime Video on June 12th in more than 240 countries and territories worldwide. The documentary will take an in-depth look at the scenes of the NASCAR Garage 56 project that competed in the 2023 24 Hours of Le Mans, the 18-month journey undertaken by Hendrix Motorsports to develop a race car designed to run 500 miles on ovals in the United States for one that could survive a 24-hour endurance race and the 24 Hours of Le Mans. NASCAR chairman and CEO Jim France, Hendrix Motorsports founder Rick Hendrick, and the vice president of competition Chad Knauss, along with drivers Jenson Button, Jimmy Johnson, and Mike Rockenfeller, along with NBC Sports commentator Nate Ryan, are on the prominent names and faces that are featured in this movie, or excuse me, this TV special. So looking forward for this. I remember when this happened, they had some issues with the car itself in the race, but what a cool project, and I'm looking forward to watching this when it comes out in June on Prime. Well, time for some weird and unusual automotive news, and both of these are regarding trucks that have lost money. Well, the first one comes out of Chicago, and the headline reads, "Dozens of Chicagoans grabbed $300,000 in cash that fell off a Brinks truck," according to a report. Well, they came into some sleazy money. Bags full of cash fell off of a Brinks Home Security Company truck as it drove through the Chicago suburb, leaving over $300,000 in cash in the hands of some sticky-fingered locals, according to the report. The moolah hauler's back door became ajar by quote-unquote unknown means as it rolled through Oak Park neighborhood in the Second City, dropping three bags of cash filling onto Austin Boulevard, according to the NBC affiliate. Brinks claims that between 50 and 100 people capitalized on the money mishap, making a mad cash-grabbing dash and fleeing the scene, according to the report. Approximately $300,000 was swiped from those bags, the company claims, according to the report, but no arrests have been made, according to the Village of Oak Park. So I like the quote that says the unknown means, as the truck was driving through and the back door became ajar by unknown means. Did that mean somebody accidentally unlocked it? Does that mean somebody broke it out from the outside? Not really sure, but $300,000 to fall off the back of a Brinks truck sounds a little sketchy to me. All right, with some more weird and unusual automotive news, we're going from Illinois down to Texas. And the headline reads, "Semi-truck spills $800,000 in dimes, causing an unfathomable, annoying cleanup." That's approximately 8 million dimes. And despite the help of vacuums, some even had to be picked up by hand. Well, semi-truck crashes and cleanup efforts that follow are rarely mundane. We've heard about and seen wrecked trucks spill supercars, beer, and fireworks over the past couple years, just to name a few examples. But the crews in Texas recently dispatched to pick up an even more unusual spill, millions of newly minted dimes. Now, this incident happened on Highway 287, just outside of Dallas. And the local outlet says WAFAA explains the driver veered off the road at about 5:30 a.m. on April 30th, overcorrected, and rolled the truck. The trailer flipped over with the spilling its contents of $800,000 of dimes onto the roadway. Why the truck was carrying so many dimes and where the load was heading wasn't clear, according to Fox 4, but the spill caused one heck of a mess. Now, if you've ever been surprised about how much money you're carrying around after emptying your car's ashtray, you know that loose change adds up quickly. Well, a truck carrying 8 million dimes. There was some video footage showing the cleanup of the spill required deploying huge vacuum cleaners mounted on trucks and numerous workers equipped with rakes and shovels and other garden tools. Some workers even end up painstakingly on their hands and knees picking up the dimes one by one and then dumping them into the vacuum canister. The wreck and the cleanup efforts followed shut down Highway 287 for hours, even though crews were on location picking up the coins well into the evening. The truck driver and the passenger escaped with non-threatening injuries. Well, time to talk some gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $3.17 a gallon. Here in Arizona, it's $3.29. Over in New Mexico, only $2.86. Colorado, $3.08. Utah, $3.29. And California, $4.77. All right, let's check on what's going on here in Arizona with our best gas prices. And right now, the least expensive gas in the state is in Sierra Vista, $2.59 at the Circle K. You can also get gas in Casa Grande and at the Arco station at $2.65. And also the Casa Grande, you can get at the 76 station at 265 as well. All right, let's see what's going on here with Metro Phoenix gas prices. See if we can still find some gas in the vicinity under $3. And the answer is yes. $2.99 at the Costco on Oak Street. The In the Zone station on Scottsdale Road is at $2.99. And then you can get the Circle K on North Scottsdale Road at $3.04. So right now, if you could find gas, I would say under $3.10 a gallon, you're getting a great price. Well, we've reached that time again. Time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, is there a magic bullet for cleaning up oil spills off of concrete? My house sitter's car leaked something oily onto our garage, in our garage and on our driveway. Kitty litter, cement powder, baking soda, dish soap, and crud cutter ain't cutting it. You have any thoughts? Thanks. And that's from Emily. Well, the magic bullet is to sell the house on a rainy day, Emily. Yeah, oil stains are hard to get out and much easier to get out when they're fresh. Once they've penetrated into the concrete, they are much harder to clean. The fact that there are a bazillion concrete cleaner products on the market will let you know that a lot of people out there are trying one thing after another, hoping to find one that actually works. Now, if you catch the stain when it's fresh, some of these things you might have tried, like the kitty litter or the paste made of laundry detergent scrubbing with Dawn soap, but once the oil has seeped into the concrete, well, you're going to have to pull it out to dissolve the stain. If you look at your favorite monolithic shopping conglomerate website, you'll find a long list of products that claim to clean concrete. I'd start by one that has what's called an enzymatic cleaner. They use little microbes that actually eat the oil, and they've been using these for industrial spills for years, and they work pretty good on stains. Now, one is called ACT concrete cleaner. It's a powder that you shake over the stain, then you push a broom over it and work it in and make sure the stain is fully covered, and then you walk away and you give the microbes a little privacy while they eat. And you can check on the stain in a couple weeks and see how it looks. Most likely, if the stain's a little bit deeper and it's been sitting there for a while, you'll probably have to retreat it a couple times. Now, you can try a non-enzymatic cleaner, one called Zep Purple Cleaner, which has been around for eons and is used by the industry as well. You can mix different concentrations depending on how bad the stain is. That's worth a try, too. After that, sort of a guesswork of the multitude of products out there. So you might try a varied different sizes and styles, but I would offer your house sitter a personalized cardboard box to park over the next time they come by. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for a cardboard box or a nice piece of metal pan for cars that you know are going to leak. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. I'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.